request from Weaver Community Housing Association, special revenue fund for sewer hookup. Mr. Manager.
Mr. Mayor, do you all like a brief staff report? Annette can do that, or?
I do want to hear it.
As the mayor said, this is a request from the Weaver Community Housing Association to allocate funding from the special, revenue, the Affordable Housing Special Revenue Fund, and this is specifically for the Hillsborough Road Cooperative. They are requesting, the overall project is for connection of their septic system to the Owassa Public Sewer. It's a $27,000 project. They're requesting $9,000 from the town. They have, are raising the rest of the funds themselves through their own reserves that they have, plus fundraisers that they have proposed, and also utilizing the town's hookup agenda or opportunity. I want to point out real quickly is that the resolution as it is structured suggests that, and I'm glad that Robert's here in his jeans and his casual shirt, so that's good, but that, that Robert Dowling did go out with me and we talked to the residents and looked at the situation there, and you have a letter in your packet from him recommending approval. Robert also pointed out that typically for a rental situation, as opposed to 80% of the median that the residents meet and 80% of the median income limits, he suggested a 60%, and that is the way that this resolution is structured. Devin Ross is here this evening, who is with the Housing Association, and I've been working with on this issue. Discuss that with him. He's got a few concerns with that. I just wanted to point it out so that you all can make a decision however you choose to make a decision. So,
okay. Jackie.
I like the idea of 60%, particularly for rentals, because we want to make sure that we're not subsidizing people who have access to larger amounts of money. And I know you're not allowed to ask that, but I don't think that people whose families could contribute more or who will someday be making a lot better money should use our affordable housing monies. But I don't want to kick people out of their housing either. So maybe what we could ask would be that the 60% be grandfathered in, you know, so that new people coming in will be at 60% of median rather than, okay, you've been here 3 years, you're at 80%, go find someplace else. So I'd like to change it to have the grandfathered in. The other thing is I'm a little reluctant to allocate funds to a place that is so often such a mess. You know, I'm not kidding. That it has been really, really messy for years, which is insulting to the neighbors that live around it, and to give, it's kind of a myth to everybody. It's surrounded by some really nice houses. I don't want to feel like we're giving money to spoiled brats who take a nice property and just trash it. So I'm in favor of that, but I would ask that people have some respect for the community that's being asked to support them and, you know, and clean it up. That's how I feel when my kids come home for vacation and they leave, like, you know. So I see this long list of things that people are supposed to be doing there, and it'd be nice if they, I know it's gotten somewhat cleaner, but you know, there are people that live around you who you're asking for money to meet your needs, and I think there should be some respect for the surrounding neighbors.
We'll let the applicant address that second point in a few minutes.
I have a question for Annette.
Okay. Go ahead.
I don't respond to that. Well, you said Devin, is that your name?
Yes.
Has concerns about this, which part, the 60%?
The way that the resolution is written is that the housing, affordable housing only rent to persons who earn no more than 60% of the median income, and currently the standard's 80.
80%.
And he
has to grandfather it in.
Yeah, I heard that part. What are his concerns, though? I guess I'm...
Well we're going to hear from him.
He's going to come up, and yeah, he'll talk about why he thinks that 80% is better for the longevity of the property.
And another point is that in this resolution, it speaks to the WCHA, which is the management cooperative itself. And I know that there's one of the housing units of that cooperative, Cedar Rock, had some money from the county, and they had this provision included as a condition to receive that money, but it was specific to Cedar Rock. So, and there's another co-housing, which is actually where I live, and we currently have that as a goal, but it's not a requirement. And so the question before the board is whether to include this specifically for that house or for the whole Weaver Street Co-Housing Association. And I would recommend that it be for the specific house, especially given the fact that the county has done a similar negotiation.
Yeah, it would only relate to the property we're investing in, I think is the right answer from that perspective.
Yeah. Am I correct that this $9,000 would be the first money that the town of Carrboro has put into this? So
into WCHA, yes.
WCHA,
yes.
So
in any WCHA.
So I mean, I think, you know, especially in the context of our previous agenda item, you know, the amount of affordable housing that's been sustained over the years by that organization, and that, you know, $9,000 that we would spend to under, you know, the express purposes of our affordable housing fund, to, you know, and it's actually leveraging another $18,000 for that sewer. I just think, to me, it's kind of a no-brainer either way, just to sustain.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, this is sort of speaking as somebody who works, I work for a different affordable housing development organization, and you do get into these situations where sometimes the amount of subsidy, that you start to get into an amount of subsidy that becomes so small that you begin to wonder whether it's really worth all of the strings that come attached with it at some point. And $9,000 is getting down to that cusp, frankly, in my experience. But I think let me switch gears and ask a little bit different aspect about this project. So what this is going to be a private sewer lateral that will come underneath Hillsborough Road. Is that correct, or is it the extension of a sewer main?
No, it's a private sewer lateral.
It's a private sewer lateral. So here's my philosophical question about this is the problem. Okay, so Hillsborough Road, by the way, is there any way we could pull up a map of the area and put it up there? Or could somebody, maybe if somebody can pull it up on the GIS or something?
Let's see.
Marty's going to try and pull it up on the GIS, I think. But here's my point is, okay, so this gets down to a fundamental issue in the way that our community is organized. The town of Carrboro sits on a ridge, an essential part of that rib of that ridge is the route of Hillsborough Street, or Hillsborough Road, excuse me, and Greensborough Street further north, not Greensborough Street, Hillsborough Road and Hillsborough Road, they both are called. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it sits on the top of a granite ridge. The rock underneath, the bedrock underneath that road is solid granite. And more than one person has driven themselves into personal bankruptcy by trying to drill through it. We had some nearly disastrous, financially disastrous problems with this up near the intersection of Daphne and Rainbow and all of that up there 5 or 6 years ago. It's exactly the same issue, which is what's underneath that road is solid rock.
Right.
The reason that this house is currently on a septic system is because it's so expensive to drill through, to bore through all of that rock. And DOT is not very cooperative about this either because, see, it'd be not so expensive to close the street for a day and go in there and blast or bore or do whatever it is you need to do to take all this rock out of the way. But DOT won't let you close that road for a day. They say instead, well, you need to come on down underneath and bore underneath it without ever closing that road. Or anyway, we've heard, I don't know, you know, you guys apparently have been looking into this more recently than I have, so maybe you've heard something different, but that's what we heard in the past. This has been an issue further down near the intersection of Dillard Street. It's been an issue further up near Daphne, near Rainbow. There's empty, there's vacant, seemingly developable lots on Daphne Court that have no sewer service. That relates to all of this problem. It's part of the reason there are vacant lots there. Here's really my point is, you know, if everything were really right with the world, instead of investing $9,000 in helping to bring a private sewer lateral across to solve the problem for one, or actually I guess it's two dwelling units, it would make a lot more sense to invest money in extending the sewer main across that street. But I'm sure it's a much more expensive and difficult project. But I don't know. I'm not opposed to doing this or solving this problem this way. This is probably all the money that we really have to solve the problem for right now anyway. But it would be a little bit reassuring to me if somebody, to hear back from the staff that you will at least take a little further step back and look at this. Just take the slightly larger look at this issue for just a minute and ask the question whether it makes sense to solve a problem this small, if you see what I'm, or whether a solution this small really is what makes sense.
And will it really work?
When I was looking at it, it really seemed very odd to me how far we were running from the manhole. But all the houses down there have already been addressed collectively. Had it all been done at one time, it would make huge sense. But they've all been individually taken care of down there, the way I saw it.
Yeah, the main is not like in the middle of the street. It's over here.
Right, it's on the other side.
On the opposite side. So they've got to go across. And there, all of these properties kind of have that problem. Some of them are currently on septic, and some of them have had crazy private sewer laterals that go down to mains that are over on Dillard Street. And OWASA has you know, waived and modified all their rules 17 different times because all of these properties have these, you know, weird sewer arrangements. This is the only one that's in crisis at the moment that I know of.
Well, I think that's the key point, is that it is in crisis. And while I think the point you raise is worth exploring, I don't know that it's worth doing it.
I don't want to stop this necessarily. I'm fine with approving this. I'm just saying, but at the same time, will y'all also just take a look at that larger issue? And if you see an opportunity that makes more sense, bring that information back to us. That's really what I'm trying to say.
Did you all still want to hear from Deb?
Yes, I do.
I had one question for Annette, and that is whether or not you perceive that there are other properties that could have this kind of issue with the septic at some later point.
Other affordable housing properties?
Or just other properties?
No, I'm curious if there's other properties that...
Here.
Along this corridor.
In that little area, Devin probably would almost be able to tell you because he is intimately dealt with every property and knowing. My assessment when I was out there on site, he pointed to me, everybody's already gone on and here's their lateral and here's their clean out.
Okay. Devin has to say.
Devin, do you live here, by the way?
Oh, yes. Right.
Okay, just to clarify.
And to clarify that immediate question, I do believe that everybody in the area has connected via a private line. When we met with OWASA in early May or late April, they had a map. Everybody's got, like you said, kind of a crazy
patchwork.
Crazy lines just going everywhere. It is a very unique area for sewer provision, which we've learned quite a lot about. And I too have had many philosophical questions raised during this whole process as well.
What could you speak specifically to this 60%, 80% issue, how you see that as an issue?
Sure. And I believe that a solution was proposed that seems about right. My main concern reading that the other night was that historically we have capped our incomes at 80% AMI. My concern was, of course, the immediate loss of current residents if we were to switch that cap. Additionally, I do have some other concerns, though, just about in regards to the long-term maintenance and continuity of the project. A lot of people who live at the Hillsborough Road Co-op currently make below 60% AMI. Some of us make in between 60 and 80% AMI. My concern is mainly one of transience. We find that the longer we have members around, the more our organizational memory is maintained, the more able we are to stay on top of regular maintenance. A lot gets lost every time somebody moves out. My concern is introducing something that would potentially boot out a member if they got, you know, a quarter raise or something seemingly insignificant could result in the loss of a great deal of valuable organizational memory that would hinder us in, you know, long-term maintenance concerns and just perpetuity.
So that we're having a little more meaningful discussion, 80% of area median income for a single individual is what kind of money?
And that's something I also wanted to clarify. What we're going by, when I was looking at the most recent census figures, we have available figures that are, we have area mean income for individuals, we have area median income for households.
But the area median income for households is calculated based on household size. So there's a different dollar figure that HUD publishes for Orange and Durham counties for each household size. And I guess the point I'm getting to is my recollection is that what is a single person at this point? It's 35,000 is 80%. 38.5 is 80%. So here's... If I can put on my Jackie Gist hat for just a second and say, well, why does somebody who makes $38,500 a year need public support in this location in this facility? Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, I do, and I can clarify that's not the case. There's nobody living at the Hillsborough Road Co-op making anywhere near that much money.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to get to is, like, I don't think the 60% cap is probably as bad as you think it is.
What's the figure?
What is 60%?
What is that?
Well, it's 3/4 of $38,500. Right. It's like $30,000, you know? I don't know the exact number, but...
Oh. Yeah. Actually, you know, in that case, I mean,
see,
if anybody's making 30 grand,
that's what I'm saying. Is like, really, there's a bunch of people who make more than $15 an hour and work more than 2,000 hours a year.
That has never been and probably will never be a problem at the Hillsborough Road Co-op. I can assure you.
Exactly.
Well, hopefully, one day.
Hopefully one day,
American incomes will be going back up. But, yeah.
Okay.
You see what I'm getting at? Is it's not. It's just.
It's not family of four.
Now here's the other twist. The other twist on that is just how you go about calculating household size for the purposes of the Hillsborough Road Co-op.
Right.
And this is an issue that WCHA struggled with back over at Cedar Rock was, well, are each of the three people living in any particular unit in Cedar Rock three separate households to be evaluated separately, or do you add all of their income together and say they're a three-person household? Well, they don't qualify at all if you add their income together and say they're a three-person household. So they really end up, I believe, where we wound up with the county is agreeing on analyzing it basically room by room within a co-op.
I see.
And I think in that context, so room by room, you're talking about only one person, and you're talking about an income cap of like $30,000. None of this seems like that big of a problem. Dan, I apologize.
What I wanted to suggest was that if the language stated that when someone moves in, they have to be no more than 60%, then that addresses his concern about that 25% raise that moves someone. You know, if someone goes from $15 an hour to $15.25, and they've been living there for 3 years, you know, that they can continue to be part of a stable community there.
Yeah, I think that's what I meant by grandfathering people in.
Grandfathering future people as well.
Yeah. Just the so when they move in.
So someone who moves in next week, after we adopt this, who's making 60% and then gets a raise 2 weeks later.
Isn't forced out.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
All right.
Does that make sense to you?
I think that clarification and also the grandfather consideration has ameliorated my concerns.
Now, how about some good neighbor policies?
Yeah, mm-hmm. What about this issue?
Right.
It's an issue.
It is an issue, and I appreciate that. And I think what we have been seeing around the co-op is a renewed interest in civic responsibility, cleaning the house up physically. We're digging ourselves out. But I think the properties look better than it has for a while, and we're certainly not stopping where we are. Maintenance is back on a regular schedule. We're making regular dump hauls. A lot of people over the years have thought that various things would be useful, and they brought them there for us. At this point, we're determining.
That's a good
so diplomatic.
at this point, we're determining that, in fact, these things don't belong in our yard. They belong in a lined landfill, and that's where they're going.
If I may observe, there have been times when the co-op has had like some special events, kind of along the lines of a yard sale or something like that, which has been fine and cool. After the yard sale's over, in some cases in the past, there's been a tendency to say, "Well, everything that we didn't sell is now free," and mm-hmm. Well, why would we bother to move it from the front yard mm-hmm. for days? And I haven't seen that recently.
Thank you.
But I think that's the type of thing that you know, it doesn't bother me. But I know that there are people who live on Hillsborough Road who does bother.
What I've noticed is that you guys have an unsightly amount of recycling.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's going out.
We'll forgive you on that one.
Well, you know, here's a thought, Devin, that, you know, and I've always considered this. That site is a gateway downtown Carrboro, mm-hmm. whether it's cyclists or runners. I mean, people are always coming into town, or they're going wherever to the, you know, northern part of town from that corner. It's a really important corner for Carrboro. One of my former students actually lives right across the street, and he's, you know, a lifetime resident of this area, and, you know, he's bought a home. You know, folks have invested in their futures in that area. So I'm really hoping that you get the message that it's, you know, it's a place we all feel invested in and take pride in. And if, you know, if there's, I mean, I'm just going to say it, if there's help you all need in organizing, there are people to get resources from, I mean, in terms of the cleanup, honestly.
A bunch of Carrboro ants will come over and tell you all exactly how to do it.
No, yeah, well. I'm very serious because
you just
don't realize between road races and bicycle races and I mean, it's a real critical entry point for Carrboro.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mark, are we going to take a break after we vote on this?
We're going to.
I think we should just adjourn after we vote.
Yeah, really.
All right, is there a motion?
Move the resolution stipulating that where it says no more than 60% of median income, add the clause at the time that they sign their whatever it is,
the
lease agreement. Or.
And do we have to clarify the grandfathering?
Yeah, well, that's what I just did.
Okay.
That's what that is.
Is the point I made an issue, the WCHA, as it's currently worded?
We need to add
this. Oh, does it? How is that worded in there right now?
My interpretation was it was what Hillsborough wanted. So
Yes. Okay.
So we should strike where it says WCHA in that last clause.
I have.
Okay.
I can't help myself. I have
where
one.
Where it says WCHA is requesting the town, that one?
I have one more thing. So
no, it says WCHA and the Hillsborough Road Cooperative.
Okay.
I used to be on the board of this organization long ago. And my recollection is that at some point we subdivided this lot, and that WCHA owns a vacant lot that's adjacent to the two houses.
Yes, that's 623 Hillsborough Road.
623. So now my question is this project being done in a way that will allow for the potential future development of that lot?
You know, I'd have to.
Do you see what I'm saying? Because that lot has this same issue.
Right, I'd have to check with the. That wasn't something that was on my mind when I was working with the engineer to resolve this issue, and I'm not sure if the current plan we have would allow for expansion or the degree of expansion that would allow for.
Well, let me point this out. Owasa's position, generally speaking, is that a private sewer lateral has to go through a little bit of the public right of way and your own particular lot that it serves. Mm-hmm. Potentially, the two lots that exist now out there could be recombined at some point in the future, and a third house or a third co-op house could be built on that site. If they were all, if all three houses wind up on the same lot, then I think they can all be connected to the same private sewer lateral, mm-hmm. assuming that the private sewer lateral is sized correctly to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I would like you, number one, to also look at that issue as you move forward. And number two, I'd like to clarify that if the money we're providing is going to make it possible to have a future expansion of affordable housing there, that it would apply to, mm-hmm. that this requirement would apply to that as well. So in other words,
yes.
If this is making possible the development of 623, then it also needs to wrap that in terms of the affordability requirement. Mm-hmm.
Right, I guess related to that question is, if it is separate properties, the subsidy that we have, would it be $2,000 for each property?
Well, except that there, and it wouldn't be anything until the subsidy is only for replacing a septic system. So since the lot is vacant, there's no septic system right. being replaced.
Okay. There's no there's no bathroom in that other house.
But that, no.
No, this is a vacant lot.
There's two houses on one lot and another lot.
Another lot, okay.
That's what I'm getting at, is there's nothing on that right. other lot, right. So there's no $2,000 to subsidize.
I just want to point out lastly that I was very impressed by the articles and the history of what this project represents, and you know, there's this cosmetic issue, but there's this underlying foundation which really represents an inspiration for how to do alternative affordable housing. So I would want to really put that spotlight on this specific housing project, because it was the original, and all the community inspiration it's provided. Myself, I work, you know, we created the Carver Green Space, and we're very inspired by the skill shares that came out of the co-op house. And so I would say the people who live there are very self-sufficient and inspiring people, I think you know, a huge asset for Carver. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The matter passes unanimously.
Oh, I'm taking
yeah, left? Okay. Is it, what else is on
what is left?
Just the retreat.
Yes, of course.